What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Fantastic Duo Show. I'm here with my boy, Steve Cardenas.
What's up, What's up, Steve? What's up, Twitchverse? How y'all doing? Thank you guys for joining us for another episode of Fantastic Duo Show. And I think today's going to be a good one. I know Alex is pretty excited. This is one of his heroes right here. So I will actually probably let Alex introduce him because I know that's how much of a fan he is. So Alex, if you don't mind taking it away, let's bring him on.
All right, let's bring on to the team right now and the one and only Mr. Mike Rome. What's up, Mike?
Yeah. That was a good intro.
Thank you. By the way,
you gotta dig deep on
you
that.
You gotta dig deep. But I would have thought you would have been deeper. You would have like, ladies and gentlemen, this is the ringmaster himself.
I would have, you know.
WWE
what?
Monday Night Raw, ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Mike Rome.
Hey.
I gave Alex the chance to do it the right way, man.
Mike, I think he's gunning for your job. Just saying.
No way, man.
He can have it after that.
Just be careful.
How you doing, brother? How's it going, man?
Not too bad.
Appreciate you coming on, man. And man, you got to explain, man. Talk to me about what is all this business that you got going on in the background over here. I see some Ranger stuff. I see some video games. Talk to me, brother.
Listen, there's a lot of stuff back. Okay, so, you know, traveling and being a nerd, like, I've got a lot of stuff. So, literally, it's like a Batman Beyond, Batman here, over, it's more Batman. Literally, on this side, it's all Marvel. You can't really see it. I can sort of see it.
Yeah, please turn
it's
it,
all, like,
man.
Marvel stuff here. And then, obviously, you see, like, the sideshow Ranger stuff up here.
That's so cool. And what's that one over there in the corner? I see like a full life size one over there, huh? Yeah. Was that Wild Force?
Wild Force Red Ranger.
Dude,
yeah.
That is tight.
One of two different ones that came out from Toys R Us, but
I was gonna say how did you get that? If you don't mind us asking.
Random phone call from a random friend who worked at Toys R Us when it was closing down, and just said, "Hey, you want this?" And I said, "Yes." It was a stupid question. You should have just brought it over. I would have said yes.
I know,
regardless.
Right? Yeah, dude, that's so cool. Well, you've definitely got quite a respectable collection going on back there.
I mean,
like
that is
dope.
Swath
of
yeah.
stuff. So yeah. That's dope. Yeah.
So I'm sure
I had a lot of time to collect.
So I'm sure it's Ness, right? Vanessa? She doesn't mind you
Vanessa,
having
yeah.
She doesn't mind having you absolutely all that stuff back there.
Yeah, no, because here's the thing. She has her own room. So that's how you gotta do it. All right.
Oh.
So gentlemen, you don't have kids.
Right.
And you wanna have your, you know, man cave.
Man cave, yeah.
She has her she cave
lady lair
and her lady lair. I like this even better. Her lady lair, and she has her own stuff in there, and it's actually doubles as our guest room,
right?
Which is really funny because she is into, like, I call it the goth room as a joke, but it's not. But she has like all the like the bats and like random stuff in there, so our guests, when they come over, they're like,
wow, sleep in this creepiness.
See my room and they see her room and they're just right. Like, you guys are weird.
Oh my god, that's
dude,
hilarious.
That's great though, man. But see, that's the good stuff though, you know what I mean? Like, that's the kind of stuff where you know you got a good person when you guys mesh with that kind of stuff. You share a lot of love for the same kind of things, you know.
You just got to do your own thing, man. Mm-hmm. Just be you, you know what I mean? If not, then what are you doing?
Now, Mike, let me ask you a question. Those helmets that you have behind you, are they the old school, not Hasbro, but Bandai ones, or are they actual replica helmets?
So these are the Hasbro ones.
Down lower
Hasbro
on the
ones. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two Hasbro ones right there. The White Ranger is the, I'm sorry, that one's, those are the Bandai ones. That
Bandai,
the White
right.
The Hasbro one. And then I have the actual ones that I got from, I can't even think of the company, but they make Ranger helmets.
Anakai or something like that?
Yes.
Anakai. Okay. And so those ones that are up above on the top there by the Captain America shield. Those are the ones. Those are Anakai ones then, yeah?
Those are actually Sideshow. So Sideshow did Sideshow Collectibles did a whole set of Ranger ones. They did White Ranger and Red Ranger, and then I think they did like miniatures of the greens, but these were the first ones. They were done by a smaller company, and then something happened to the company, and then Sideshow like swooped in, and it took three or four years.
Wow.
From the time that I purchased the one, and then I won that one in a contest.
Okay.
The Red Ranger
one
I won. So they're literally, if you put it up to you, it's the exact size. Yeah. I mean, I'm a little smaller than you. It might not be your size. But
well, I don't know, man. Everybody looks bigger on camera. but yeah, do it. We need to we need to get a signature on that, man. That's what we need to do. You need to get
Let's well, do
we
it.
We'll sort that out. We'll get that sorted
Mike,
out.
Mike, I'm sure you saw on our Fantastic Duo Show Instagram, I posted that Hasbro is coming out with a replica Red Ranger helmet, which of course, anyone who's in the chat room right now, or anyone listening to this on the podcast later on, if you get it, you're going to have to hit up our boy Steve Cardenas on VShout and get that over to him so he can sign it.
Oh, yeah, right. If you guys don't know about VShout, VShout is basically where you as the fan, you can mail in your item, the item that you own that you want to get signed. However, you know, there's no cons going on right now, or if I'm not in your area doing a signing at a comic book store or something like that, but you really want to get your item signed, you mail it to them. You pay them for it. They in turn send it to me. I sign it. And not only do I sign it, but I do a little video that says, hey, so-and-so, here's your item. I'm signing it for you. That way you have your provenance and everything, and it's legit. And then they mail it all back to you. So it's all done
for
you.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's a really good idea. Yeah. So
the world today, Mike, is the world today.
And Jason David Frank, Amy Jo Johnson, and David Yost are all on VShout. So if you want to get your stuff signed, you don't even need to wait for us, man. We just need to just send it in and we'll take care of it. He's everywhere, man. The dude really is everywhere. It's true.
He really is.
He has mastered the art of teleporting because he must.
Dude, it's insane. So I've hung out with him a couple times outside and around at cons and stuff. And when he started doing his Instagram lives, I think I did one of like the first four that he did. But he was literally like, as soon as the cons in it, he's like, hey, I want to do more stuff. I want to get out there. I'm like, bro, take a week off.
Yeah,
like, I know. I can't. I got to keep going.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to stop. He is definitely a machine when it comes to that. That's for sure. So this is great, man. I love it. Like, you know, you're like a huge Power Ranger fan. For anyone that doesn't know, this gentleman right here, obviously, as you can tell,
but just by his background alone,
he is a huge Power Ranger fan. But, you know, maybe if you could briefly, like, maybe just tell us, like, how did you get into the whole WWE universe and kind of how did that come about for you? Because obviously we want to find out about you, too, and not just, you know, your stuff in the background.
I thought you were going to ask me how I got into Power Rangers.
How did you?
Well, both of those.
We'll do the WWE one first.
How old are you, Mike?
Because you really want to know that?
You got to be like in your 20s, bro. You know,
I'll take it. I'm actually 39.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow. Okay. That's good. You look young, man. You look young. I never would have clocked 39. That's for sure. Whew.
All right. We'll let you tell your story. The floor is all yours.
So I used to work at Disney. So living in Orlando, you know, you have the theme parks and as an actor out here, you do Universal, Disney, SeaWorld. You kind of just work the gamut. It's kind of the same way in California too. If you're in between auditions, you kind of, you know, you can hit up the theme parks, easy job stuff. So I was working there and at Disney, my venue, American Idol, actually closed. And one of the guys that I was hosting there with was like, all right, I'm done with Disney. I'm out. I was like, oh, cool, man. I'll see you later. I'm going to transfer somewhere else because I like it here. So I went to Indiana Jones, which is one of the shows over there. So I was working there for a while and he hits me up and he's like, hey, man, I just auditioned for this WWE thing. And I was like, what the hell did you audition for? Like, what could you possibly do over there? Cause I knew at the time they used to take like broadcast journalists and guys who were in like news and stuff like that to do commentating and whatnot. He's like, no, they're doing all this new stuff. I was like, all right, cool. Well, hit me up. If you ever hear anything. So a year later he hits me up and he's like, hey man, they want to move me up and they want somebody to replace me. Are you interested? I was like, yeah, let's do it. And at the time I was rehearsing for Halloween Horror Nights, which is like a huge horror event at Universal Studios. And so I was like doing rehearsals from like midnight till 5 a.m. And then I got up and I went over to WWE and I did an audition. And in this audition process, there was wrestlers in the ring. Triple H comes walking in.
Oh, wow.
And he's basically like, don't screw up. And I'm just like, And so they put you through, you know, the gamut of like rehearsals, just like ring announcing and live backstage stuff and like random things. And I was like, I finished it up. The people were great. And I was like, nailed it. This is great. Steve, I don't know. Like, have you ever left an audition where you were just like, oh, I feel good about this. And then no phone call.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That has happened to me before where I'm like, yeah, I felt pretty good about stuff. And it was the Power Ranger audition that I did not feel good about. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, for me, I was like, you know, they were like, okay, great. I got like 30 seconds to show what I could do. And they were like, okay, great. Thank you very much. And then I thought I'd never hear from them again. You know what I mean?
Like, but wait, there's more. I can do more.
I know. I really didn't even like get the chance to like display all the stuff that I wanted. And it wasn't until I got my callback that I was actually able to like do like my full like katas that I was doing and mixed it with all the gymnastics and stuff. And then they were like, oh, okay, cool. But yeah, that first one around, I thought, oh, I'm never even going to hear back from these guys again.
It's funny how the auditions where you feel bad about, you hear something back most of the time. And it's usually the ones that you're like, I nailed that. I feel good. You hear nothing back.
Yeah.
Well, dude, I came back and I'm like, dude, I got it. This is going to be great. I've got this audition. It's going to be awesome. And then I didn't hear anything.
Right.
And like 4 or 5 months goes by.
Damn, 4 or 5 months.
Oh yeah. I got a phone call and they were like, Hey, remember us? So it turns out they hired a guy before you auditioned and nobody knew about it. So they didn't have an opening.
Right.
But we're still interested and this guy may not work here anymore. I was like, oh, cool. Okay. Let me know. And they're like, okay, we're going to call you. I was like, okay. That's what they told me last time. So right. Then like that was in January. And then I think, January, March came around and I still hadn't heard anything. And then one day I got this phone call and I remember it was Batman versus Superman was in the movie theater and I've been waiting for this movie forever.
Yeah.
It's the longest movie. So I sit down and my phone is sitting there and it starts to ring and I see it's them. And I'm like, I was like, screw it. I'll talk to them later. It's probably not important. They're probably just going to call and tell me like, oh, you're still interested. We'll call you back. Whatever. So I get out of the movie theater. I listen to the voicemail. So like, hey, call us back right away. We need to talk to you. It's very important. If you don't call us, we'll call you in the morning. And I was like,
wow.
Ah! Next morning, dude, literally, like, I couldn't sleep that night. 7 a.m. on the dot, my phone rings. They're like, you want the job? I'm like, yes. They're like, all right. So here's what's going to happen. WrestleMania is happening. Then we're going out of town. So in about a month, in 2 weeks, we'll have dinner. And we'll bring the team in. We'll have you meet everybody, and then we'll see if it works. And I'm like, okay.
So then I
hung up the phone. And then another month and a half goes by, and I'm just like, so I'm starting to think. I imagine it. So I'm like, messaging, hey, is there anything you want me to bring or anything? They're like, no, just bring yourself. I'm like, okay. They didn't send me any details, no nothing. I go to the dinner. Everything's good. We had a great meal. That month goes by, I had that dinner, and then I'm like, cool, it's gonna be great. And then my friend's like, dude, they're gonna offer you the job. They're gonna offer you the job. Dinner ends, I go home, nothing.
Nothing. Oh, dude.
Like, what is happening? So then the next morning, I had to go in because I was coming to the tapings anyway. So anytime you audition, they bring you to NXT tapings.
Right.
So I came in, they're like, hey, just have some questions ready. So the whole night, I'm like staying up, I'm like writing all these questions down that I wanna ask. And, honestly, I didn't have any questions because my neighbor, Scotty Tuhati, who was part of Tim Pool back in the day, I knew everything before I was getting into it. So I'm writing all this stuff down, trying to be like, all right, here's what it is. I sit down the next day. They're like, all right, do you have any questions? And I'm like, yeah. So they're like, do you want the job or not? And I'm like, yes. And they're like, all right, you're hired. I was like, what? God,
like after all of that, after all the hoops they essentially made you jump through, dude, that's great. Well,
it was a crazy process, but it's been a crazy ride since then. Yeah. So
well, still, I mean, I say that's a testament to the audition that you must have given them, man, because like for them to court you as long as they did when they could have easily just tried to find somebody else, that's pretty good, man. So good for you, man.
Congratulations,
man. That's awesome.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. And then, were you like were you a Power Ranger fan like just growing up? Like, you know, I mean, it seems like, you know, it was probably like you were probably on the tail end of like what the age range of people that like Power Rangers at that
point. I was. So here's the thing is like my parents were military when I was growing up. So I lived in Japan for 3 years. So I grew up with like the original Super Sentai stuff.
You grew
up
with the Sentai stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So I watched G-Ranger before it ever came to the United States. So I had seen all the original stuff. So
okay,
it was probably the only show that in Kamen Rider Black and Black RX I crossed over with. But those are the only things that I watched over there where I could the language barrier didn't mean anything.
Like, it didn't mean anything.
It was good versus evil. And, you know, this was either a family or it was brothers and sisters whose parents died or whatever it was. And they were trying to save the world. And it was just such an easy concept to grasp that I just got sucked in because it was the only thing I could really watch. And I remember leaving school and watching it. And so when it finally, when I moved over here, and they started doing those promos for it, I was like,
you were like, oh, I recognize this. Yeah,
this is great. And the, you know, the stories are different, but it was so cool because it brought me back to my like growing up in Japan. So it was such a cool connection for me. And I've always, and everybody was like, how did you get into Power Rangers? You were so old. I'm like, dude, I was into it before Dragon Ball and everything else. I was into it beforehand. And then it just kind of carried over. And I loved seeing what they did with it. The interesting takes that they had.
I mean, I always, like I said, I always give a shout out to the writers, man, because it's like, you know, imagine trying to come up with a story when all you're seeing is just this old footage and like, how do I put a story around this? You know what I mean? Like, I figured that's always a true test, you know, of what you can come up with.
And then continuing it after you run out of footage and then going for it's just so much like there's many things
after that. Yeah. After that Japanese footage ran out, they flew a whole team in from Japan called Alpha Stunts, and Alpha Stunts became the guys that were in the suits all the time. And they were second unit filming things. Like all the helmeted stuff, like in the States at that point. Yeah, so it was pretty
insane.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Breaking stuff, guys.
Did you know about it before, like when you went into audition? Did you know what you were auditioning for?
Because I started on the show in season two. May or may not remember, but yeah, I started on the show in season two, so I was already familiar with the show because back then I just liked anything that was martial arts on TV because I was a martial artist and you know all that stuff, and I wasn't really like looking to try to be an actor, but I used to watch martial arts movies or anything martial arts on TV all the time. So I started watching this Power Rangers show. And so I was familiar with it, and you know, I didn't watch it all the time or anything, but I knew the show and I was familiar with the storyline and all that stuff. And so then I knew right away what it was when I heard about the audition that they were holding. They were holding an open casting call. I was living in Dallas at the time. And so when I went to that casting call, I knew what it was. But the only thing I didn't know was whether or not I was going to be a ranger or not. I thought they were just looking for people to add to the cast in some way. I didn't know they were replacing people, you know? But I was familiar with the show.
That's awesome. I don't think anybody knew anybody was getting replaced at that point. It was just like such a crazy a time.
I mean, dude, I didn't even know. Like, I already got hired. We had already moved to California. We were going on set, and I was going into wardrobe fitting, and wardrobe was like, so which ranger are you? And I was like, I have no idea. They had to go upstairs to production office to find out who was going to be the Red Ranger, who was going to be the Black Ranger. Even the wardrobe people didn't even know. So it was very strange. Yeah, so it was like up until like the very last second, we didn't even know who we were, you know?
So and I think that it was such a weird time bizarre. In the show, too, like, because they had all those scenes where nobody was unmasked, everybody had the masks on, and there was like poorly voiced over things. but things you don't notice as a kid, like crazy when you go back and watch it now, and you're like, oh my God, that was brutal. I can't believe they got it. But when I was a kid, it just never dawned on me that it was going on at the time. Right. And then it happened, you're like, oh, and then you watch, you're like, oh, could have seen that a mile away. That's crazy.
Right. Yeah. I'm sure it was probably the same for you too, Alex, right? You probably just didn't even think about it. Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm not that much younger than you, Mike. I'm a year old, younger than you. So I've just kind of like started rewatching everything because of the pandemic, you know, and doing doing the show with Steve. I kind of wanted to be on my P's and Q's when it came to like the history of what we're talking about here. So yeah, so it's, you go back, I just finished Wild Force. I'm up to 2002 right now. I already watched Time Force beforehand because we had Jason Fawn and Aaron Cahill here. And I completely skipped Lightspeed Rescue. I for some reason that just doesn't grab my attention. So when you watch it now, I'm starting to see a lot of things. And back then, you didn't notice that the signs in the background were all in Japanese. They were in Japanese locations. They just tried to match everything as much as possible. And it's just mind-boggling. What a great job the American crew did with that Sentai footage. And big ups to someone like Steve, who had to play that character coming from out there here and put his spin on it, you know. And I think Steve did a great job when he took over Zeo, You know, like he was. Finally, his story came out, right? So that brings
right.
me.
I didn't have to share the suit with somebody at that
yeah,
point.
Exactly.
You know? I mean, that was the only difference, I think. Yeah.
That brings me to another thing.
Well,
like,
it's also one of those things. You came in at such a time too that like everybody was when that show aired. Everybody just was like enamored. Like it was just so. It just kind of blew up. So you yeah. knew. All the Rangers. So
yes.
all of a sudden you're taking out what everybody, I mean,
three
no,
of them. Yeah.
Yeah. You loved, everybody loved Tommy, which was great, but he was not technically Jason was the guy
right
at the time. Everybody was. So when he peace, when the peace summit comes up, everybody's like, what, why did you, why,
yeah.
why the hell would you leave for a peace summit? You're giving up this for that. Like, what
right.
the,
you yeah.
know, everybody, you know, you go into a situation where there was somebody before you and it's just kind of hard to kind of step into that. So I'm sure
yeah.
that was odd.
Well, you know, and the other thing too, and this is just off the subject a little bit, but it was probably a little confusing for the kids too, because this is a show that was supposed to be like airing every day, right? It aired every day, but there was no way, because it takes like, you know, 7 to 10 days to film an episode. So there's no way that we're going to be able to come in and have footage, you know, I mean, we're shooting, you know, things that were airing were shot 6 months before, but even then we still ran out of episodes. So they'd go back to a lot of reruns. So I would imagine it's probably confusing. First you see this different Red Ranger coming in and a whole new storyline develops. Then we don't have enough episodes, so they go back to showing the old reruns again with the old Red Ranger, and it was probably confusing for kids at that time, you know, which is why I think people relate more to that first season more, because it was the one that was like the same and it was consistent all the time. And then the new guys came in and it was hard to decipher what was what, you know, for a while. And I think that's probably
and
know,
one thing
part
we
of it. And it wasn't until Zio where it started to really be like, okay, cool. Or after the movie, at least, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
When it started to establish that, okay, there's a whole new team.
Yeah.
Now, yeah.
And one of the things that I always like bust his chops about is the red vest. The flannel vest. You gotta love Rocky in his red flannel vest, you know?
That, none of those were my choice, though, man. That's wardrobe. That's wardrobe's choice, you know what I mean? They were the ones that put me in those sleeveless shits all the time, man.
You don't always like everything in wardrobe, trust
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
yeah.
I mean, you know, it's true. I mean, there was definitely something. And plus, it was just 90s gear anyway. I mean, you go back and you go, why did I ever wear my pants that high? What the F, you know? Why did I ever wear, like, you know? So anyway.
Wait, how many red things can we find?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Match? But as long as they're all red, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
you just
got to
make sure they know that he's red,
right?
Blue, and he's black, and she's yellow, and she's pink, and he's green.
Yeah. I always thought it would have been so cool if, like, when they switched me from like red to blue, if I could have had a line of like, great, now I got to buy a whole new freaking wardrobe, you know? Like,
I would have popped so
next
hard.
Thing you know, it's like, awesome. Oh, next thing you know, I'm an all in blue.
you just burned all your red stuff. You just traded it in
exactly.
for all blue stuff.
Traded it all in, man. Yeah. Anyway.
So, yes. Yeah, so
very funny stuff, man. Wait a
I'm sorry.
The things that people don't think about, you know what I mean?
It's true.
Until you're in college and you're rewatching Power Rangers, you know, and you're
like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Right. And you're playing the drinking Power Ranger game. So every time they do a morphing sequence, everybody has to drink or something. You know, I hear about all these stories. It's pretty
wow.
funny,
dude,
actually.
I've heard the one where you have to drink, take shots through the entire morphing sequence is just insane.
Yeah.
I've never done it, but oh my
yeah,
God.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, I could imagine, right?
So have you seen the sketch of the guys, of them, of the whole morphing sequence, what the villains see?
Right.
It's morphin time.
The villains are like, you know, like sitting there waiting, like, yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yes. Yeah. I have seen those before. It's so funny. That's why I love the fans, because the fans always DM me this kind of stuff. You know what I mean? I always get these little memes and all these funny little things. And so, you know, and sometimes people are thinking they're being so clever, especially like my buddies. They'll send me something. I'm like, dude, my fans sent me that 3 months ago, you know?
So, Mike,
yeah.
you know,
it,
the fandom between Power Rangers and wrestling fans is pretty tight. Like, even, you know, wrestling fans are huge fans of Power Rangers, vice versa. You know, they go to cons. You know, they kind of like they go same hand in hand. So what with you growing up, were you a big wrestling fan growing up? And if you were, like, what were you into? Were you into ECW? Were you into WCW? Like, what did you grow up watching? Or did you just not watch wrestling at all?
Oh, no, I watched, I mean, I think I was like every kid growing up. You know, you had Hulk Hogan and, you know, Macho Man, Randy Savage, Junkyard Dog, Andre the Giant. Like, those are the guys.
Yeah, those are my era.
Yeah.
Mid-80s, mid to late 80s.
Exactly. And those like Lou Albino, like Cyndi Lauper coming in, and you had, you know, the Hulk Hogan cartoon with the wrestling superstars. And like, that was the kind of stuff I grew up with. But I feel like for me, the Undertaker, when he first dropped, like when he first came out, that was the first time I was shook. I was like, yo, this dude is scary. That was the first time I saw somebody that really just stood out, that I was just like, oh, I like him. He's great. Everybody else, you know, Hogan's got that whole American thing. Hacksaw Jim Duggan, the Bushwhackers, like all those guys from back in the day were all the things that I grew up with. Yeah. And then, you know, obviously the Attitude Era, Stone Cold, The Rock, those guys, like everybody's there for that. But
yeah, because I think in the earlier ones, they were more like caricatures, you know what I mean? And then the Undertaker came in. The Undertaker came in and he's like, oh my God, this guy is legit, like, you know, like no effing around, you know what I mean? Yeah, I thought that too. Sorry. Anyway, I'm just
So
timing in.
That's great.
Sorry, I cut you off. Go ahead.
That's awesome. No, like I remember Ted DiBiase like bringing him out, and you're just like, you're watching him. He's just walking off. Everybody used to like Undertaker used to run, and Hogan's doing all his stuff, and you just have this guy just stoically just walking to the ring, and he just gets in, and he's doing his whole thing, and you're just like, oh my God, this dude is insane. And then just, you know, goes and stuff. And I having the like the casket matches and like just seeing all those the different things that they did, and like having Paul, oh yes. Like it was just awesome. Like that's the stuff I grew up with. And then obviously, like I tell this all the time, like I missed all the like the CM Punk era. Like I was, you know, school, I was working, I was touring with Nickelodeon at the time. Like I watched most of the Attitude Era, but I missed like the ending stuff. So when I started working again, I had to kind of go back and like retroactively watch a lot of the stuff that I had missed during that period of time.
Well, because you gotta be current, you know. But for me, like, I don't know why. I mean, like, I've always kind of been like a wrestling fan, but I was like dedicated back then. And then kind of like once the 90s hit, once puberty hit and I started like thinking more about girls. I kind of like left Hulk Hogan and all them behind, you know what I mean? And never fully came back, you know, until I started doing like a lot of these conventions and stuff and meeting these guys. And then I kind of re-fall in love with everybody.
He left the big men behind and started chasing women.
Hogan, I love you, but
Hey, can you blame me?
So now
I feel like that happens to every guy, though. I feel like you hit that phase where you think girls are like gross and like icky when you're a kid, and then all of a sudden you wake up one day and you're like, wrestling, dating this girl.
Yeah,
I want to go with a girl.
Obviously.
And then it's the same. You come back to it later on. You're like, oh yeah, I remember it. I used to love this so much, and it's still. Some of the storylines and some of the stuff is just classic, man. Some of the stuff that's happened. So, like, I still go back and watch some of the older stuff.
We have your Rage crew in here as well, Mike.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, everyone's in here. So that was just a spike on the internet. Everybody's back here. Everybody's seeing everything, though. We're good. We're good.
Okay, cool. All right. Yeah. Well, for anybody that might have missed out on anything that we were talking about because of this Twitch glitch or whatever, we apologize. But for those of you that are just joining us, we are here with Mike Rome. And, you know, he is like, it's crazy. Like, you know, I meet fans all the time, you know, but this guy is like a true fan, you know. So I think that's pretty cool, you know.
It's got a lot of history, man. A lot of history. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Mike, I had another question for you, man. So when was your first WrestleMania and how did you feel walking into that, you know, cathedral? Like, what was that like?
So my first WrestleMania was the worst, actually. I got sick during Access, actually. And I was in the middle of doing the Ric Flair statue unveiling. And all of a sudden I was sitting there and I got super dizzy and I was like back up against the lights and are on the ropes. And I was sitting there, I'm like, dude, what is happening right now? And I was like, oh God, I think I'm running a fever. And so afterwards, I ended up getting a fever. I ended up being super sick that weekend.
Oh man.
And I think I toured overseas like right before that. Like I was just gone. No, I was just going like nonstop. So
your immune system didn't get a chance to adjust.
Yeah. It like shut down and we were in Orlando, which was like my home at that point. Like, you know, I was so excited to be here. So literally I remember walking into WrestleMania in Orlando and seeing the set and just going, geez, this is insane. This is freaking insane. Like it's beautiful. And then I just dried. Like I was literally in a tent most of the day of WrestleMania. And I feel like I came out for Undertaker's last thing. And then I ended up leaving early because I couldn't do it. I was just done. And then even Raw the next day, I hadn't talked to anybody. I blew out my voice at TakeOver on Saturday, WrestleMania. I was in a tent all day. And then Raw the next day, I got sent home because I didn't have a voice. So my first WrestleMania was not the greatest experience. But, you know, the other ones, they still looked amazing and all the other ones were great. But, you know, it happens.
Yeah, dude, that's crazy. I mean, it's not too often I get sick. But when I get sick, man, it freaking hits me, you know. I remember I was like, I was doing a Comic-Con in Ireland, in Dublin, the Dublin Comic-Con, and I got the flu when I was there. Like, as I was on my way there, flying there, and I started feeling it come on. And then it's like, you know, the next day I got to be at the con, and like, literally, I mean, I was like, I was wrecked, and it was so bad. I would go out for like maybe like an hour and like sign, and then I'd go back in the green room and just like shiver in the corner. Like I was in the corner with the blanket over me, just like shivering for like 3 hours. Then I'd go back out again for another hour, and then go back and just cower in the corner again. It was like really bad.
God,
it was awful.
So miserable. Not to mention it happened on a flight like that. Yeah, like a 12-hour flight to Dublin. It's like brutal.
Yeah, worse. And then the flight home. I mean, it lasted like that whole weekend that I was there. I was there for like 5 days or something, and the flight home was just as bad too. So it was like, yeah. Anyway, man, that's no joke.
Thank God, I've only besides that WrestleMania, like getting like the cold or the flu or whatever it was, I've only gotten sick like one major time, and it was right before Madison Square Garden. I had just It was actually the WWE holiday tour. I was supposed to do Madison Square Garden. I left Chicago, landed in JFK, I think it was. I picked up my car and I went to the hotel right next to JFK to drop my bags. And I was like,
I don't feel good.
Something's not right. I got food poisoning.
Oh, man.
From
dude.
Something. And I wasn't the only one to get it. A bunch of people got it. And I ended up getting stuck in my hotel and missed the show. I was like, guys, I can't come. And they're like, you need to come and get checked out. I'm like, I can't make it 30 minutes out of my hotel room. Right. I can't make it 2 minutes out of my hotel room.
Right.
Now. So there's no way I'm coming to that. So I literally stayed in there. And then I couldn't extend my hotel. So I had to drag myself to the airport the next morning, catch a flight to Orlando, and pray to the heavens above that my stomach didn't die on me on that plane.
Oh, God.
I don't even know how I did it. And then I came back and got my girlfriend sick.
Oh,
either I had a bug and got her sick, or because she was with me in Chicago, or hers just took a day longer to kick in. I think it was this catering we had, but we're not entirely sure. But it got her worse. It affected me for like a day and a half. It got her for 4 days.
Ew, God. Oh, poor thing, man. That's crazy.
Yeah.
We'll blame it on the catering though, for sure.
Yeah.
Caters, always catering. Blame it on catering.
I definitely didn't bring anything back, you know.
Yeah.
So now, how long you've been with the company for? How many years now?
4.5.
Okay, 4.5. Damn, it just seems much longer because we see you, you know, 52 weeks out of the year plus all the pay per views. You know, it's kind of crazy, like, you know, that
it might be close to 5, but yeah, wow. It's not. It feels like I've aged a lot in the last 4.5 years.
I'm sure, man. I'm sure. Any cool stories that you could share with us in your time? Any like, have you ribbed anyone? Has anyone gotten back at you? You know, being the rookie in the locker room. Anything fun that you can share with us without, you know, getting the hammer?
Man, I don't know. I'm trying to think.
I know. I
put you in the spot. I'm sorry.
It's hard to think about things that you can actually say, like what you can and can't say.
Right.
I mean, I can say stuff like, so like my, you know, when you go, so like I was NXT for a very long time. I was, you know, ring announcer for NXT and I was doing that for a while. And I actually thought I was going to stay on NXT for
the future ever. Forever.
I was like, cool, I'll stay in NXT. I'll stay in Orlando. It films here. It's great. My house is down the road. It's fine. I always thought that I would stay there. And I remember grooming a couple people, trying to help them. Because at the time I was training and helping people host and do whatever, helping them get up. And I knew one of our people was getting moved up. So I was really just hammering down on her, trying to make sure, okay, you got to get this. You got to get this. And she had no idea. And so I was really excited when she got her phone call and she texts me and she's like, yeah, I'm moving up to SmackDown. I was like, oh, or Raw. I was like, oh, that's awesome. Congratulations. And at the time I was getting ready to pack because I was heading to Japan and Australia for like a 3-week tour. And I was so stoked. So I was like, all right, cool. I'm going to go to Japan and then I'm going to go to Australia and check out all the Power Ranger movie sites. We were actually visiting.
Oh,
some
that's
of the
right.
Same.
Yeah.
I had mapped every single one of them out because we were actually going to be in the same town. And so I was like, oh, I'm stoked about this. It's going to happen. And literally after she texted me, I got a phone call and they're like, hey, you're moving up to Raw. And I was like, wait, what? I'm moving up to Raw. And they're like, yeah, so we have to move Tom to here. This is happening. We're doing this. And I was like, oh, and they're like, that means you're not going to Australia.
Oh, Crusher.
No. it comes back to haunt me too. I've literally been removed from the Australian tour 5 times.
What?
Now for different reasons. And this year I was supposed to go again to Australia, but
right. Well, now we got a bigger reason.
So, like,
so have you gotten the chance to go to Australia yet? You still haven't had it. Yeah, I hear a lot of stuff is gone now. I hear like a lot of the stuff that we filmed in the movie, like the whole monorail thing.
Yeah,
that's gone. It's not there anymore. Yeah.
Oh, so, no
more Ernie's Juice Bar.
Yeah, but some of the I mean, obviously the Opera House is still there, the tower is still there, things like that.
McDonald's is still there.
McDonald's is still there.
Maybe.
Yeah. Ernie's Juice Bar is still there. Yeah.
Ernie's Juice Bar is still there. Yeah, who knows, but yeah, well, if you get the chance, you should go. And then, I think probably like about an hour outside of Sydney is a place called Kayama. That's where all those rocks were, that the raves are crashing on the rocks. Where
Yeah.
Yeah. That's called Kayama. If you get the chance to go out to Kayama too, that it's beautiful out there, man. It's really cool.
Write it all down, Mike. Write it all down.
Kayama or something like that. Kayama. Yeah, it's a really cool spot out there. It's one of these like real rocky beach, you know, with all these waves crashing up in it. It was a really cool spot.
See, I want to like literally. They all laugh at me because they're like, "Oh, why do you want to go to Australia so bad?" I'm like, "It's a movie. I want to go see all that stuff." And so I mapped out all these things. So the first time I got booted because I went to Raw. The second time they did budget cuts after Orlando and they cut it down to one host instead of two. And I didn't have seniority at the time, so I got booted off of that one. Then they moved the tour to SmackDown instead of Raw. And then something else, I got taken off of another one for some other reason. And then this year, COVID. I was like, I'm going in August. I'm going. And then the COVID thing happened and no go for me. But so that was a side story. But so I got moved to Raw. And the first thing they told me to do, they're like, hey, so you're moving to Raw, but beforehand, you're going out on the Raw live tour in Europe. And I had never done a live tour. And so the tours are literally shows every single day. You fly in, you fly out. The schedule is brutal. But it was amongst a roster that I was not familiar with because I never, like, I hadn't met any of these guys. So I'm not like The Big Show and Chris Jericho and Roman Reigns, like all these guys. So my introduction to them was literally taking over that tour going, hey, guys. I'm Mike. I'm the new ring announcer, and they're like, "Yeah, get out of here."
Oh man!
Just because I was so new, like I didn't know anybody, so like that whole tour, I just like it was me getting to know everybody. And Big Show was actually very cool, and he like kind of took me in and gave me the ins and outs of tour, and just showed me everything. And it was kind of my introduction into Raw, and I've been
but
on.
You won
Raw
him over.
For,
you won him over.
I think he just felt bad for me, honestly.
Oh God, that's funny.
I think he just felt bad.
He took pity on you. Hey, you know what? What I'll take it.
This poor guy is gonna get eaten alive out here. Oh man, but yeah, the locker room is very much a family. I mean, after you tour and you're with people, you know, that much, you just kind of become a family. So like, everything you guys do, you end up doing it together. You travel together. You have good times. I mean, people play pranks, but they're nothing.
Right, right.
Nothing too crazy, I guess.
Yeah.
So let's transition. You know what? Let's transition over to the pranks you play with Vanessa, right? How badly you get her, and it's out
okay,
there.
Okay, now this is interesting. I want to hear about this.
So, Steve, let me tell you something. I've been following Mike for a long time, and they have this series where he tries to scare Ness, and Ness tries to scare him, and it goes back and forth like crazy. These things are utterly scary, some of the things that they do to each other, these two. I don't even know.
And where do you guys post this up at? Just on your social
Instagram.
Media and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, on Instagram. Okay.
It's on Instagram, yeah.
Okay. I have to look for deeper into your Instagram.
Honestly, I had to give her a break because you know, the whole
of
lockdown
course.
Everything
yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
you know, we've been home and I think it was too much like when she's home. But usually so she has what I like to call carcolepsy. So anytime we get in a car, she's not a road warrior.
Yeah, dude, she falls asleep.
I'm so used to traveling And right. so like we would land and go to Disneyland and all this stuff whenever we'd go to LA, and we'd take these trips to different places, and she just falls asleep within right. minutes.
In the
within
car.
Minutes.
Right.
And so I just scare her every single time.
Dude, is she there like, in your house?
Every
you
got, time.
You should. You gotta tell yeah, her. You gotta tell her to come in and say hi to everyone on the chat room, because everyone's everybody's saying Vanessa on the chat room. So you gotta text her to come
yeah,
over.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe she'll come. She probably. Will. Oh, yeah, she'll come. Okay,
I'll see. She don't we'll have see if she'll to,
man.
Up.
She's not
oh,
camera
yeah,
ready, yeah. man. Sometimes oh, yeah, yeah. girls are not very sensitive about
that.
You know what I mean?
I think she'll probably say no because of that.
No, that's right. That's right. No pressure. It was just a simple question out there. But so you obviously now have all the scare tactics and all these scare pranks. I'm glad you kind of put it aside for now, because staying in lockdown, you probably wouldn't survive in that home. None of your toys there back behind you would survive.
The last one, she got me so good, because I had this Court of Owls mask from Batman. So it's this white mask and like whatever. So I'm standing, and I had this cloak that we used to use at Universal Studios when I was the Grinch to like walk from one soundstage to the next soundstage. So I put this cloak on, and I had the thing, and I stood in the corner, and she usually goes out onto the patio like every morning and like reads and like eats her breakfast and like takes in like her little garden out there.
Right.
And so I'm like waiting. Yeah, she says I have no makeup on.
So. No, that's fine.
Yeah. That's what I figured. Yeah, we can't put people in a spot like that, Alexis. We got to be like, you know, they got to be prepared, you know?
I'm hitting the hard.
That was not our special guest, by the way, that we were
that
supposed to have on.
Guest,
that yeah. was not
our
the special
guest that we were supposed to have on. Unfortunately, had some filming things, can't make it, but we're not going to say who it was because we want to reserve the right to bring this person back another time. So anyway, sorry, didn't mean to cut off your story.
No,
please tell us what happened.
All I'm saying is when you bring this person back, I would like to come back.
Oh,
on.
Yeah. Absolutely. We'll make sure that you're back on for it.
Yeah.
1,000%. Yeah. Yeah.
You guys aren't going to want to miss a special guest, trust me.
Yeah,
right. Definitely.
So
definitely she
always hangs outside, and so like she was hanging out for too long that day, and I was just sitting there, and literally I waited for 2 hours for her to come in.
Oh my
and I
god,
scared the living hell out of her, and she just cold cocked the side of my head, and I was like, what? I got her with this one too. I got her with the fiend mask.
Oh my god,
one of the characters from WWE.
That
and,
is so crazy.
I did a whole scare with this thing, and she did not like that one at all.
So in your household, is it like you guys just walk kind of on pins and needles because you know at any minute the other person could fuck with the other person?
Basically. So the only rule is that in the bedroom,
right,
there is no scare.
It's a scare-free
right.
zone.
So yeah, so one time the reason why that came about is because one time she was in the shower and I was supposed to scare her and she slipped.
Oh yeah.
So I was like, okay, all right, new rule. We had to set boundaries.
So you have your sanctuary, you have your holy ground, so to speak, where the Highlander can run for safety, and then
exactly.
everyone else in the house is fair game.
Well, like with this one, I was at the door, so before she came into the bedroom, I scared her, and she's like, "The bedroom's off limits," and I was like, No, you weren't in the bedroom yet. Let's be clear. Oh yeah. Man, she was so angry. So I had to give her a little bit of a break.
Right. Well, I mean, when you guys are when everybody's locked down and in the house together for hours and hours and hours. I mean, you know, for days on end and stuff. Like, I imagine that could get old really quick. You know, it's different when, you know, you guys are on the road and you don't see each other for a while, and then you come back together and you play pranks on each other. That's fun, but it's not fun when you're stuck and there's nowhere to go when you're mad.
No, she's not happy about it. I had to like cut them back. There's just too many
yeah,
happening.
Right,
and
of
she
course.
Was just,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh man. Like, okay. Well, I'm going to have to see some of these things.
Yeah,
so.
Dude, it's great to just watch him, just both of them, actually, not just him, just like both
of
them.
I always think it's super funny because I have a Facebook, I guess, page that I don't even run, but it's tied to my Instagram.
Right.
And so the videos got posted over there every time I post a video. So one of the videos is at something like 22 million views or something.
Wow.
Like that. Wow. We were actually driving down to Florida SuperCon to go have dinner with JDF.
Right.
And, she passed out and I scared her. And everybody in the video is like, this is fake. She doesn't do this. This is fake. It's so set up. I'm like, bro, you have no idea. She can literally sleep anywhere. So much to the point where before the lockdown started happening, she started driving it next to me like this. She would sit there like this, or like turn the music all the way up because she didn't want to
fall asleep.
because I kept trying to find one of those trucks that was like towing backwards.
Yes.
Because I desperately wanted to hit the brakes and be like, Vanessa!
Oh, yeah. I've seen those before where somebody's asleep in the passenger seat and they pull up right behind a car and then they scream at the top of their lungs and the person screams because they see this car right there.
So I wanted it so bad.
So when one day, sir.
So when we know when Mike doesn't show up on Monday Night Raw for his gig, we know what happened. We know
why.
We
already, she murdered me.
Yeah, we already know.
She murdered him.
We're there. So Mike, real quickly, man, are you staying? I you know, with the before COVID, your schedule was crazy. I'm pretty sure even now with all the filming, it's still crazy. But are you staying up to date with anything Power Rangers? Are you reading any of the Power Ranger comic books with Boom Studios?
I am currently, I read all the first Boom Studio stuff, the Shattered Grid.
Yeah.
Shattered Grid was fantastic. Haven't followed anything afterwards because it kind of went.
Yeah.
Right. It splinters off in a bunch of different directions and stuff.
Yeah. It wasn't my thing. I thought the Shattered Grid thing was cool. What was it? The dragon one that they, the one-off they did with, Tommy and his kid. I thought that was cool.
Solo the Dragon.
Yeah, that was the Soul of Dragon. I've read that one. I haven't watched the new series. I did watch the one where Austin St. John. I saw like the clips and stuff.
Yeah,
but I haven't really.
The new one of Beast Morphers.
I have a hard time like logging into the new stuff. I don't know why. Like it just doesn't. It doesn't click the same.
It's not. It's your nostalgic like memory keeping things alive back then. Because I had a problem too going back into it. I saw when Steve came back. I was like, oh wow, this is cool. But I couldn't get into it very much. And then I started watching Beast Morphers.
That's why they do the flashback episodes because they want to draw in the people
Yeah, and the thing is, too, it's like it's different because you're different. You know what I mean? Whatever your nostalgia is about Power Rangers is not the same. You're not going to look at it the same. You know what I mean? Like most of the time. I mean, even for the lifelong fans, which I guess we should probably take a minute to talk about this. We're doing like a big event together coming up this weekend. So there's an organization called Give Kids the World. It's a village where terminally ill kids are able to come, and it's essentially like, you know, just a wonderland for these kids, you know what I mean, where they just have all kinds of like really cool rides, and they celebrate all the holidays that these kids are probably, let's face it, probably not going to have, you know. So it's like they get everything all at once that, you know, that they might miss out on.
24-hour ice cream pizza.
I mean, just, you know what I mean, it's like everything. And these guys do such good work, and you know, we Rangers have gotten the opportunity to go visit these kids there a couple times, and it was really heartwarming. And so when we kind of heard that, you know, these guys, you know, because of COVID and everything, I'm probably not going to get all the funding they used to get. We want to try to help these guys out. So Mike is going to be hosting a sort of a Q&A panel, if you will, where it's going to be myself and probably about 25 other Power Rangers from all different incarnations of Power Rangers. Are going to be doing this little event where we're just basically going to tell our stories and stuff like that. Maybe you could elaborate a little bit more, Mike, on that, because we meant to talk about this earlier, but we got off on all these great tangents.
Yeah. And stuff, and
I was like, oh shit, I better bring it in back to this. No, let's not forget Give Kids the World.
So we have all the Rangers that are coming on, and I think, you know, we're going to tell stories about the different seasons and probably tell stories about how everybody got involved in it. If they, you know, kind of the same thing we're doing now. And then talk about the crossovers, cons afterwards, how Power Rangers stays alive, kind of all the stuff. I mean, we're just trying to get everything for the fan base to that was invested in any of those series or all the series. If they don't know about the other series, it opens the door for them. And especially like we were just talking about Shattered Grid. I mean, there's so many random Rangers in there that were, you know, focal points of their series,
right?
So maybe you didn't know about that, now you see this person on this Zoom call, so it'd be cool to kind of go back and see all that. And also we're raising money for Give Kids the World Village, which is, I mean, I've volunteered there with Universal, with Nickelodeon, by myself. I've served ice cream there, I've served food there, like I've done a lot of stuff. So it's a cool place
to
have it. And listen, if the Power Rangers can't save it, then who can?
Yeah, no kidding, right? I agree with that, man. And, you know, it's like I appreciate that you're saying that because I really do love that place. And every time that we're in Orlando, we try to go there. So I think it's cool that you volunteered to be a part of this with us as well, too. So we're super excited. So for those of you that are not sure about it or don't know how to get involved with it, essentially you go to Eventbrite. If you go to Eventbrite, they have once you go to eventbrite.com, there's a search bar on the top there inside their website. If you just type Power Rangers, it's going to bring you right up to that event, and it'll show you how you can click to donate so you can be part of this panel. You know, we'll probably field some questions from the audience a little bit, people that are watching it, but mainly it's going to be it's like 27 people all going to be chatting at each other and just telling some great stories and stuff. And of course, my main man here, Mike, is going to be the host. He's going to be our moderator, the king of the ring, so to speak, which he's so used to. So anyway, we're grateful to have him, and I just want to take this time personally to truly thank you for doing that. And
thank you for being a part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. As well as, and I speak for all the other Rangers, like, we stepped behind this like immediately. As soon as we heard about it, we're like, yep, let's do it, you know, like. And so
the numbers shot up fast, and I was like, oh, it's so cool that everybody's taking their time to do all that. It's
absolutely cool. So you guys do your part, go to Eventbrite, sign up for the ticket to the event. I'm not sure how much it is, but whatever it is, it's not enough. You know what I mean? So, you know, any amount would be worth seeing what you're going to see with like 27 different Rangers, you know, led by the general himself, Mike Rome. I'm sorry.
25.
Okay, yeah, 25 bucks. Yeah, $25 for an awesome cause, and you know, we're gonna have a really fun filled hour. It may even spill over a little longer than that too, but.
Sure it will.
Yeah. Anyway, so it's good stuff.
You can't quantify that in that short a period of time. It's right. Just so many people.
Yeah. So Mike, obviously, based on the background that we're watching in your room, in your man cave here, you're definitely a pop culture guy. Absolutely. one of the things we like to do is we like to have like a little fantastic battle. We like to do a little fantastic trivia battle where we like to hit our guests with some 80s, 90s trivia. Basically Alex will read the questions and you and I will kind of buzz in for the answer.
Why you look
gets
so,
the most
wins. You look so nervous. Why you look so nervous?
Doesn't matter. There's no prize if you win other than bragging rights. You know what I mean? But, if you're down to do it, we can play a little, there's simple questions. You're going to be like, oh God, I know this. You know what I mean? And
let's
if you
do
don't,
it.
Nobody.
Do
all right,
right, let's
cool.
do it. All right. Cool.
All right. So we are about to start our little fantastic trivia because we've only got a few minutes left. And then after that, everybody can tell everybody how they can follow you and all that.
So
stuff
first,
like that.
First to three wins. All you got to do is say buzz when you
right.
know the
when
answer.
You know the answer, just say buzz. Whoever just says say buzz first gets to answer that, gets the point.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. First question. Name the lead in Good Will Hunting.
Buzz.
Ooh,
that was at the same time. I'll let you have it. Go ahead.
Matt Damon.
Yeah,
Matt Damon.
He got it.
Matt Damon. Yeah.
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon. Yeah. All right.
So you got one. Here we go. Second question. What 90s film skyrocketed Leonardo DiCaprio's stardom?
Buzz.
Ooh. Oh, damn. Ooh. Same thing again.
Titanic.
I'll let you. Yes, Titanic. Yes.
Okay. Here
so
we go.
Now 2-0 already,
two to zero already.
These guys quick on the draw
this
here.
Is crazy.
All right.
All right, here we go. Third question, and this could be the possible winner. What Mariah Carey song do people have to listen to every Christmas?
Buzz.
Oh.
Go ahead.
I don't know the name of it.
All I want for Christmas is you.
Okay.
Mike
all right.
is the winner.
That was a proper ass whooping. Thank you very
Mike
much.
Mike took it.
I told you these questions were going to be easy, you know? I didn't even get a chance to buzz.
Easy.
This guy's pretty quick. Maybe one more?
I'm going
to
give you one more. Here we go.
Yeah, let's go.
Here
okay,
we go,
here we
ladies
go.
And gentlemen. This is good for both of you because both of you are DC fans. Here we go.
Oh, God.
Who played Catwoman in Batman Returns?
Buzz.
Go ahead, Steve.
That was Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah, there we go. Michelle Pfeiffer.
Let's... Yeah, Michelle. She was smashing or smoking as
Catwoman.
Let's throw
we got another 5 minutes. We got to throw another one here. What was...
Okay, let's do one more.
one more.
He's on a roll now.
One
okay,
more.
Cool.
One more. Here we go. What was Mark Wahlberg's hip-hop group through the early 90s?
Buzz.
Buzz.
Go ahead.
The Funky Bunch.
Look at that.
Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
Okay, that was our last. I mean, you could have probably came back and taken it over. Just saying.
Yeah, well, it's cool. We'll give this one to our guest. Congratulations, sir. Great job. Nicely done.
Thank you.
Proper ass whooping. I'll take it. But we'll do the rematch when we bring our special guest back.
Yeah.
That'll
we'll
be fun.
We'll do a
to
trio
be continued.
On there.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. So, Mike, really quickly before you leave us here, we know you are also on Twitch. Can you let us know a little bit about your channel before
yes,
you go?
Yes, please. Tell us about all that stuff.
Yeah, so it's under Mike Rome WWE, same as my Instagram and Twitter. Basically, man, I just finished Last of Us 2, and that was fun. I play a lot of Call of Duty and just random stuff and hang out with everybody. There's a lot of jump scares on there. We have a lot of, you know, theme nights, and I see a lot of the Rage family in the chat right now. As we call it, because I rage a lot in there, so it's a rage family. That's what we call ourselves. So come hang out, come be part of the Rage family, man.
Nice, so, man. Well, I'll tell you, one of these days we gotta come up with one way. I keep always suggesting that if there was a way for us to do, like, you know, the Power Ranger, like, you know, Battle for the Grid, the game they have, or maybe even the old Sega Genesis game, if we could figure out a way, like, for us to play that against each other, you know, we should have a game night where we bring on a few of the guests and we just game and we just, like, you know, try to see who's the best. Or maybe even a poker night.
Power Rangers the movie. Sega on that arcade machine.
Oh, you've got that on that arcade.
Man, that's cool. You can download it.
So you can download it.
There's ways you can play it on there. Yeah, easy ways. That's like, my brother and I used to play that game all the time. So
I'm gonna get him on. I'll get him on it. That way we don't get any toss information in here, and then we lose the channel. But listen, so one thing I wanted to say before we all left was, Mike, we do have a game night here. We do either Friday or Saturday. I like to come on and game. If you ever have the time and would like to join us here on the Fantastic Duo Show to have a quick game night, you know, battle each other or battle the Nexus of Evil one way or another, you're more than welcome to join us here, man.
And also vice versa, man. If you ever want to call me in one time to come on to your thing,
I think you guys should come play trios on Call of Duty with me.
But the thing is, man, I'm not a gamer, so I'm gonna have I'm gonna get my ass whooped again by Mike Rome again. So I'll have to, like, think about that.
I'll get everything set up to where we can get it and we can play the old school Power Rangers game. You just got to tell me which one, whether the SNES one, if it's the Battle Bike one.
I like the Power Rangers the movie one from Sega Genesis, man, where you're actually Rocky, you know what I mean? Like, I'll be Rocky.
That's actually low-key one of my favorite games ever.
Dude, it's so fun, right? It's not bad.
How they bounce from the show to the movie. It's like back and forth between.
Yeah. It was like the old school Street Fighter. Remember that movie where you have to, like, you go down the city street and you're battling, you know, the putties and stuff.
Oh, God, I love that.
It's just nobody ever tells you if you use that, like, backflip kick thing, it takes your life away. So I was like, well, I was used to play it. I used to do the backflip kick thing, and I'm like, yeah, take that, putties, yeah.
Yeah. And like, meanwhile, you're like draining your energy out. Yeah.
I'm like, how did I die?
Right. Yeah, because it takes a lot out of you to do that.
Yeah. I've never made that move in my entire life. I'm pretty sure I would hurt myself.
Right. Oh, my God. That's true. Well, so guys, you can follow Mike on his Twitch, and you can follow him on Instagram, all of those. So make sure that you guys do that. And once again, man, let's show love, man. Thank you, Mike. Really appreciate you coming on our show, man. You know, something you did not have to do, but we're grateful, man. And I'll look forward to seeing you again in a couple days, man. And we'll chat some more with the rest of the team, man. So to everyone out there in the Twitch universe, thank you guys so much. That's kind of going to do it for us. But may the power protect you, and everybody stay safe out there. Okay, guys? And for the Fantastic Duo Show, I'm Steve Cardenas, and my co-host Alexis. Let's thank Mike one more time, and have a great night.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. Bye, guys.
Take care. Thank you, guys.